thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
What'd I miss?
Here's John Williams.
Hi, I'm back. It's John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we are here today until 3. Saturdays, 10 a.m. until 12 noon on social media. I hope you know I'm WGN King John. We do have a web poll question. And that is back. I'm looking at producer Elif. Elif, let's get ready with the news click for today. A question we'll ask you to comment on. In fact, it'll be our first main topic of the show. But before we do any of that, Kim, I just want to say this. If I can learn this lesson, anybody can. And I suspect it's a more difficult lesson for the likes of a me to learn than maybe the likes of a you or you or you or you. And that is, you can get away from it all. The Jason Van Dyke announcement was supposed to be made on Friday, which sounds like forever ago, doesn't it, at 1:45. And I was sitting on the tarmac at Midway, and at 1:43 we were wheels up. I was 2 minutes away from hearing the verdict that I so wanted to know about. All of this amidst the Brett Kavanaugh voting and not voting and so forth. And then you had the Chicago Marathon, three big stories that I was interested in that we thought might intersect in various ways. And so I was really curious about the outcome of those things, and I really wanted to relay information and comment on it. That's my job. And I felt like, oh, boy, this is a bad time for me to be leaving. And I sort of thought, you know what, this is the perfect time for me to be leaving.
Lucky you.
Yeah, and unlucky me. Lucky
I know.
You.
It was a very trying day and really, you know, a very different tone in this city than you normally see on a daily basis.
Yeah, so I understand. And so we followed it a little bit from afar, but mostly we didn't. You know, I went to Denver, Brenda and I did, to see my brother and sister-in-law. And from Denver, we went up to Estes Park, Colorado, which is in the mountains. And so we didn't even have cell service. You know, we were literally cut off from a lot of media, and it was a good thing. I mean, it was like this. I'll demonstrate now. That's what it was like. And sometimes people talk about how every now and then the, you know, absence of connectivity gets forced upon them, and you hate it, you fear it, and when it happens, particularly out of your control and there's nothing you can do about it, you just go, oh.
And the world still went round.
That's the thing, V. And you know what? Then I get back at it, as it turns out, the Van Dyke trial didn't need my commentary. It still happened. It happened, in fact, the way I would have voted myself were I in that jury. And I'm glad to see that justice in America prevailed the way it did. I feel so bad for Jason Van Dyke and his family. I so wish he hadn't pulled that trigger 16 times. He did, and I think what happened had to happen afterwards. I was frustrated beyond words with the whole dog and pony show that was the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and vote. It wasn't the way I'd hoped it would go. I know a lot of you feel differently than that, but maybe the most dramatic pieces of that drama are now past us, and Brett Kavanaugh hopefully will, like the rest of the Supreme Court justices, do their work. Vote as predictably as they do, but all of the daily drama that we have had to endure or participate in or look away from is going to move on. You knew you were going to get a conservative justice. I liked Brett Kavanaugh before I found out some of these things about him. I then found myself disliking the sort of politicization of it, but again, that's past us. So the world continues to spin.
But are we really past it, John? Because we have the midterms coming up. We have President Trump continuing to stir the pot. You know, Hillary Clinton talking about it. So is it really over?
Elif, if you would get on the line and make reservations for me back in Denver, I would appreciate it. Get me a ticket out of here.
Okay, John. Calculating ticket.
Yeah, no kidding. $1 zillion. I'm in.
Well, but like you're saying, if we took a step away maybe and didn't look at the
every
larger,
little detail.
Yeah, and I think the internet definitely contributes to that because we have access to it constantly.
Yeah.
You know, where maybe if we talked and listened about our own families and our own neighborhoods and our, you know, wouldn't be as stressed.
And that's what we did. So my brother and I and our wives connected up in the mountains of Colorado and had some laughs and had some drinks and talked about some frustrations you know, with family and the world, and not necessarily the Democrats and the Republicans. It was refreshing in that way, and I got to say. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its nominees today. There's a bunch of them. And one name popped up on the list that I was really glad to see, because whenever I hear a Todd Rundgren song, I'm reminded how much I liked Todd Rundgren music. He's one of the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So then I went down that rabbit hole today. I went, oh, I saw the light. Oh, what a great song. Bang the Drum All Day. Oh, God, that is the most fun song. There's not a more fun song than I Don't Wanna Work. Wanna bang on a drum all day. Something like that. You'll be hearing those songs as the show progresses. Hey, here's something I want you to call me about. The number's 312-981-7200. You can text or call, and it goes back to the world that we're all living in, or does it? Taylor Swift has inspired 65,000 people to, in 24 hours, register to vote. She'd like you to vote for Democrats if you live in Tennessee, but she really said, if nothing else, you need to express your view. Go to your state, because for a lot of states, today is the last day to register to vote for the upcoming elections. So you need to register to vote, and you need to do so by, I guess, close of business today. She may have risked her reputation, says the USA Today, today, to endorse two Democratic congressional nominees in Tennessee. But according to Vought.org, her Instagram post Sunday has inspired a surge in voter registration. More than 65,000 people registered to vote in the 24 hours after she said, make sure that you register to vote.
Well, and she's been a pretty smart businesswoman in not ever getting political about anything. She's really always just promoted on her social media her concerts, her upcoming albums.
Love to her fans.
Right. Very, very business oriented. Not a lot of personal life things other than her very personal songs.
You just have to, that's what I was going to say. Her songs.
Right. She doesn't care if you're Republican or Democrat, but boy, if you're an ex-boyfriend, watch out.
Exactly. So it is interesting that she decided to go political, and in a very, very clear way.
No kidding.
There was no beating around the bush. It was very direct.
I know, because here I am painting this a little bit as, you know, she said, make sure that you register to vote and express your opinion. But clearly she said, here's the candidate I'm voting for, or more to the point, here's the candidate I'm voting against, the Republicans in Tennessee, two of them, and here's why. You know, they're Republicans in Tennessee. They're not LGBTQ friendly. They're not for, you know, there's a list of things here that I circled, but it's, you know, a lot of the boilerplate Democrat talking points. She feels that here's what she said. I cannot support Marsha Blackburn. Her voting record in Congress appalls and terrifies me. She's not for equal pay for women. She voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. She refuses. She would refuse service to gay couples. She does not support same-sex marriage. These are not, wrote Taylor Swift, my Tennessee values. At the end, she wrote, so many intelligent, thoughtful, self-possessed people have turned 18 in the last 2 years and now have the right and privilege to make their vote count. But first, you need to register, which is quick and easy to do so. October 9th is the last day to register to vote in the state of Tennessee. Go to vote.org and you can find all of the information. Happy voting. After she posted that on Insta, they got as many people registering to vote or clicking through that site as they do sometimes in months. Such is her power.
Well, and that's not saying that they're going to vote how she voted.
Amen.
Maybe they signed up to go against her.
True dat.
So
true dat.
It's,
I just said
good.
True dat. Does anybody still say true dat?
So you.
So who's hip now? So you're absolutely right, Violetta, and I think that in a way that's maybe the risk she takes, but also the service she provides. You may agree with her or disagree with her, but I think all of us agree that everybody exercising their vote is maybe the single most important thing, right? Whoever wins the election, isn't it best that at least it most represents all of us or most of us? So just register to vote. If you're a Republican, I'm not. If you are, you should register to vote if you have not. Your kids should too if they can, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Taylor's hoping that you'll vote her way. And I also think, given, I mean, if you just think about it, if you're a fan of Taylor Swift and she said to go register to vote and you went and registered to vote as a result, you may be more inclined to vote her way. So here's the news click today. Producer Elif, what is the news click today, please?
Taylor Swift, breaking with her own tradition, is endorsing two Democratic candidates. A. Great. She should leverage her status. B. Wrong. She should stay out of politics.
That's the other thing. Some people just say, now that's not fair. All these Hollywood types, all these music stars, even ones from Tennessee, they're all Democrats. It's just not right. They should just stay out. What does she know? What does she know about politics? The president said, I don't even think she knows the other candidates so much, and I now like her music 25% less, which was kind of hilarious. I mean, that's the sort of thing I do. So what do you think about? So the question is, I'm sorry, Producer Elif, just real quick, what was the news click question again?
Taylor Swift, breaking with her own tradition, is endorsing two Democratic candidates. Great. She should leverage her status. Wrong. She should stay out of politics.
Okay, which one are you? 312-981-7200. I'm just kind of curious what you think about the light. And there's ones on the other side, too, right? I mean, we could have said Kid Rock has made news, but he hasn't today. But there's ones on the other side as well. So what do you make of this business of a celebrity endorsement? Is that good or is it bad? 312-981-7200. I'd like to hear from you right now. This is WGN. Producer Elif was just reminding me to make sure that we remind you that that White Sox trip that we're going to do, it's called Sox on the Beach. You get it? The White Sox and I and a bunch of you are going to go to Mexico. Boy, we'd like you to come along with us. It's 7 nights in an all-inclusive resort in Mexico, one of these places with a half a dozen swimming pools, swim-up bars, all-inclusive food, all-inclusive beverage. It's just terrific. And with airfare, it's $1,049. Are you kidding me? So come with Elif and come with me. Come with Ron Kittle. Come with the starting infield for the Chicago White Sox. And then some veterans that you know and love. It's really going to be fun. We're going to play games. We're going to do the show from there every day. And shoot, I've seen the weather here in December, and being on a beach or at a pool in Mexico sounds pretty good. But today is the last day for that $1,049 rate. So go to WGNradio.com/events, and you can find the details there. It's on our website. Apple Vacations is handling all of the details. You can contact them, too. For those with PTSD, it helps to have a best friend. See how dogs are helping survivors of Chicago violence to heal. That's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. If you've been seriously injured as a result of a car wreck, construction accident, medical malpractice, or any type of incident, you need to retain the right law firm as soon as possible. Insurance companies got floors of lawyers on retainer ready to fight your claim. There's lots of lawyers in the town and state, but who are you going to pick? Well, if honesty, reputation, resources, and a successful track record are important, and they should be, then you should pick Lou Cairo and the GWC Law Firm. Over 40 years now, GWC's helped tens of thousands of their clients obtain settlements and verdicts in excess of more than $2 billion. That's just a staggering number, but it says something about how good they are at what they do. And remember, if you don't get paid, they don't get paid. You don't have to worry about affording the best law representation. They'll take your case, and if they don't win, then you don't pay. Here's the number to call, 312-999-9999. How about that? 312 and then just dial 9. Or visit them at justicestartstoday.com. We should play the Taylor Swift bump song in 3, 2, 1. Woof. Hey, this is a good song. I guess I'll vote for whoever she says to vote for. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. Our news click at WGNradio.com reminds you that 65,000 people in 24 hours registered to vote after Taylor broke with her longstanding tradition of not getting involved in politics and on Instagram said, "Here's two candidates I'm voting for because they don't support my Tennessee values. I want you to register to vote wherever you are." Yes, I'm doing the blender. Okay, so here's my question for you. Do you think that that's... How do you feel about celebrities using their influence? You know who never did and still hasn't is Michael Jordan. Think about that. People have been critical at times of Michael Jordan not getting involved in social issues. Think of the influence that he did have and still does. Tiger Woods has not exactly extended himself to the president, but I think by association he sort of has. Kanye West is having dinner with the president, thinking of Chicago-based celebrities and others. Tiger Woods is actually scheduled to have, Kanye West is scheduled to have a dinner with the president at the White House to discuss the violence in Chicago, because I'm sure if the two of them put their heads together, they can figure it out. Okay, I'll stop laughing now. Let's pick up a phone line or two. You can text to 312-981-7200. Hey, Kim, this is John. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I think on the Taylor Swift thing, I don't really give a hoot who she wants to vote for, but if she truly brought 65,000 people into the arena for them to exercise their right to vote, I say more power to her. And if you don't vote, you don't get a say. It's the best, you know, thing. One of the best things we have as Americans, and the one thing we have is power. And if she can get young people to participate in that, I think that's great.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
And I know. Well, that's the listen. Your thought. This is interesting, isn't it? Is as important as mine and as important as Taylor Swift. So thanks for listening and calling. I appreciate it. You know, but the difference is nobody has a bigger microphone than Taylor Swift. So you might tell your friends, you might even post on Facebook, and all of your friends will know that you are for a candidate. Taylor Swift does it, and 65,000 people register to vote who never did before. And you've got to believe more of them than not are going to vote the way she's suggested they should. So 219, lots of texts said people that vote because an entertainer tells them to should not be allowed to vote. 847, John, all entertainers need to stay the hell out of politics. 847.
Including President Trump.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but what if the entertainer is the president? I mean, think about that. Ronald Reagan was. Donald Trump's The Apprentice. I'm reading a book right now called The Apprentice. I'm 100 pages in by a Washington Post political reporter who won the Pulitzer Prize for his coverage of the Russian hack. And it is a page turner. You go, page turn, page turn. Oh, my God, this is the craziest thing. Who would have? Oh, wait, this is happening. This is happening right now. It's a brilliant book. It's the pub date was October 2nd. Ella said, hey, you're late for the news. Don't do that, John. We'll pause, pick it up here in a minute. This is WGN. The words are... I don't want to work or other things. I just want to bang on the drum all day. You may know someone like that. How can you not love that? I don't want to work. I just want to bang on a drum all day. Thank you, Todd Rundgren, nominated in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's class this year, along with Janet Jackson. And I don't know who else is on that list, Elif, that jumped out at you.
Radiohead. And you have the sheet now.
Yeah. You know what surprised me about this was that. So there's Todd Rundgren. I go, oh, this is so much fun. I'm cranking all this Todd Rundgren music today. Todd just turned 70. Oh, my God. Would it kill him to be 59? He's 70. Todd Rundgren is 70 years old, America.
Well, that was a really catchy song, and I hadn't heard of him before this. So
you haven't heard of it? Okay, just randomly. I have a few of them there. Play one more. Play a clip from one more of the Todd Rundgren songs. These are some of his big hits. They aren't banging on a drum all day. What have you got? Go.
Seeing you.
Think of me. You. Oh,
can't help seeing all the way through.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
So Todd Rundgren is in the class of stars nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today. We'll feature more of them later on. But I got to get through all the Rundgren stuff first, so we might not get to them. Our news click at WGNradio.com, a daily web poll question we post on our website and on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook, is asking you, what do you make of the likes of a Taylor Swift who has broken with her own self-imposed tradition of not getting political? She just talks about her fans. She visits them in hospitals. She calls them up on stage. She's got love for the music, love for her people, except for her boyfriends. And she promotes, you know, her brand, but she doesn't get political. But she finally broke. She said, no, I've got to talk about this. And today, Tuesday the 9th, is the last day to register to vote in several states. So if you want to be in the game, and you should be, then go out and register to vote. And 65,000 people, 24 hours after she said so, went to vote.org and registered to vote. Who knows how many people found other ways to do it.
But could it be, too, that it was the last day to register?
They say that may be a factor. And I'll let you mention it. There's a number of things, and she's not the only one encouraging people to vote. And yeah, I mean, it was going to go up today or yesterday or the day before anyway. But let's give her some credit. Within 24 hours, she got, or within 24 hours, it happened that as many people will register in 2 months, registered on the site that she said to go to. Laura wanted to say something about all of this. Hey, Laura, you're on WGN.
Yeah, hi, John. We're about the same age, and I'm wondering what the difference is between this and the music we grew up on, Bob Dylan, a lot of the Beatles music, especially John Lennon when he was by himself, Neil Young. They're all political songs.
Yeah, they were.
So, yeah.
Although, you know, I think of Neil Young, you know, I think a lot of the music of that era, you know, you and I are just thinking off the top of our heads here, but I think a lot of it was... If you talk about some of them, I don't think about anti-Nixon songs as much as I think about anti-Vietnam songs. So they were about the issue. And it would be clear who you would have voted for if you were on one side or the other, say, of the Vietnam War. But when I think about some of those songs, I think about events, more, you know, the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, more than I do politicians per se. Here, Taylor's not...
Okay, but the Vietnam of our day, maybe, this week, Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
It's just things like that.
Yeah.
These are significant in our days.
Interesting.
Our young people's days, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call, Laura.
Sure.
I'm glad you joined us. John, if she's encouraging people to vote, great. If you vote for someone because a celebrity tells you to, however, you are part of the problem. John, if she gets people to register to vote, good. I don't care if God himself tweets for or against a Democrat or a Republican. I'm all for it. By the way, God is a terrific follow on Twitter. John, I have an opinion, but I'm not a celebrity, so it must not count. Celebrities are not blue-collar workers. Their opinion counts, but mine is more important. Thanks, King John. John, look at what getting political did for the Dixie Chicks. Who? 630 wrote, I am for anything that gets more individuals to vote. Our nation is too apathetic. This one says, actually, John, the story shows a lack of intelligence of America's youth. If you do something a total stranger tells you to do, then you're pretty much a fool. Somebody said that, I'm looking for the specific text here. One of you said... Taylor Swift is a citizen just like everyone else that posts their political views. Why can't she have an opinion? But the one I'm looking for, just because it takes me back to the article, is one of you who wrote to say that, maybe it's on this page. Bear with me for just 1 second. John, she never suggested, this is from 269, Taylor Swift never suggested that people should vote for anyone specifically. She just said the reasons she was voting for who she was. You are making news that is not there. Here's her statement. This is from her Instagram. I cannot vote for someone who will not be willing to fight for the dignity of all Americans, no matter their skin color, gender, or who they love. Running for Senate in the state of Tennessee is a woman named Marsha Blackburn. As much as I have in the past and would like to continue voting for women in office, I cannot support Marsha Blackburn. Her voting record in Congress appalls and terrifies me. She voted against equal pay for women. She voted against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which attempts to protect women from domestic violence. She believes businesses have a right to refuse service to gays. She believes they should not be able to marry. These are not my Tennessee values. I will be voting for Phil Bredesen for Senate and Jim Cooper for House of Representatives. Please, please educate yourself on the candidates running in your state and vote based on who most closely represents your values. For a lot of us, we may never find a candidate or party with whom we 100% agree on, but we have to vote anyway. So many intelligent, thoughtful, self-possessed young people turned 18 in the last 2 years and now have the right and privilege to make their vote count. October 9th is the last day to register in the state of Tennessee. Go to vote.org. A couple of you wondered on my text line about what happened to the Florida students. And I don't know, but you remember after the shooting in Florida, those kids, some of them were 18, and a lot of them between the shooting and Election Day will have turned 18. So how mobilized are they? Which way will they vote? I don't know.
Back to her post, my take on that is that she's displaying her research on the person that she wants to vote for, and she's encouraging people to do their research and vote for the person that they see fit best.
Well, she's got that message in there, but so it's a little blended, Elif, but I mean, let's face it, she said, I cannot support Marsha Blackburn. Her views are reprehensible to me, and here's why. Here's who I'm voting for. Now, did she say, I want you to vote for that person, too? Well, she didn't literally write that word, but this is an endorsement of those candidates, right?
I think it's an endorsement, like Elif is saying, to go educate yourself on who you're really voting for. Don't just vote. Because she starts off by saying, I wanted to vote for the woman, right? If I wasn't educated on their political views, I would have blindly voted for the woman.
Back to what you just said, though, John. When someone reads that who's a mega Taylor Swift fan and who wants to fit in with her and her views, maybe they will be hindered from voting for Blackburn because they don't want to do something that Taylor Swift wouldn't do.
I just get the feeling you got a lot of young people on the sidelines and they're Taylor Swift fans. I mean, that's what's happened here. And Taylor said, here's why I like this candidate, not that candidate. And hundreds of thousands, maybe, of them went to register to vote. Now, gosh, which way do you think those votes are going to go? So while Taylor said, please, she did not say, please vote for X. You know she wants you to vote for X. And don't you believe that a lot of them will? Can I change the subject for just 1 second? You know, I just got back from that trip to Denver. I was gone Friday and Saturday and Monday. Thank you, Pete McMurray, and the rest of you for filling in. You know, two things you notice when you go into the mountains of Colorado, if you've never been to the mountains of Colorado. One is when you climb and hike up the mountains of Colorado, as we did in Estes Park, the air is thinner. And you notice it, at least some of us do, some people more than others, but I sure did. And we went to the Rocky Mountain National Park, and they have trails there, which are just like you would imagine. You would hope that there'd be these clear, fast-running streams and beautiful fir trees and magnificent rock structures, and you'd stroll through them like in a poster. That's the way it is. It's spectacular. So we went on a hike a couple miles up and a couple miles back. Actually, it was about 38 miles up and 1 mile back. But anyway, I'm in pretty good shape. There was a point where you just go, okay, I'm just going to stand here and breathe for a while. The air is thinner. it really does have an impact on somebody from the Midwest. The other thing you notice is that state has legalized recreational marijuana. And even the pharmaceutical dispensaries there will have, you know, winky, cheeky names, you know, like the Big Bong Drugstore, or, I don't know, some pun. That's a bad example. But, I mean, it's just kind of funny how you know it intellectually, but then when you drive by and go, wow, I could go in and get a handful of pot gummy bears, and we could be on our merry way. That's just kind of weird to me. I've known that's there, but it was just weird to see, and how low rent a lot of the shops look to me. I thought that since it was legalized, it might be a little more dignified, but it's kind of low hung, if you ask me. I can't help but notice that.
They're not real fancy.
No, they're not. and so, you know, it's like, wow, I literally, listen to this, I'm an outlier. I have never consumed marijuana in any form in my life.
Okay, I'm with you, but I had to go see one when I was out there because I just wanted to see what it was all like. You know, and that was the first time I saw a quote-unquote rookie cookie, which just cracked me up.
Rookie cookie. Oh, my God, that's
but,
hilarious.
Yeah, they're very low-key, you know, and it's all cash, so you don't need any fancy computer, you know.
You know why I never smoked or consumed marijuana in any way? Because my whole life it's been illegal, and because I don't want to smoke anything.
Me too, I'm the same way. I have bad allergies.
But if you said, hey, here's a gummy bear, it's got pot in it, and we're in Colorado, you know, I'm drinking vodka tonics. I might as well
what
try one of
these.
What
difference does it make, right?
I know.
It's just your mindset. It's the way you grew up.
I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it.
Because I'm sure your kids have a very different outlook on it than you and I do. It's a generational thing, I think.
The second generation feels differently than the first in my family, I've been told on
yes,
this topic.
Yes, me too. I've had several conversations to the fact.
It's 151. This is WGN.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
It's a living.
Here's John Williams.
What I do. Hi, it's John. We're at the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. Not a bad day. Summer may be waving to us. But enjoy it while you can. We're on Saturdays here, too, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon on The John Williams Show on social media. Look for WGN King John. That's me. I'm so sad about something. Gosh, John, what are you so sad about? Remember we did The Bright Side not that long ago? On Fridays at 2:40, we do a segment where you call in and tell us some good news in your world. Something large, something small. Why are you smiling? What's your bright side? So it's people who are happy that their kids have come home from military service in a dangerous place on Earth. And it's other people who just discovered a new hot dog stand. People beat cancer. I mean, it's whatever it is that's making you happy. It can be large, it can be small. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, this has just been on the back of my mind, and I want to share it. And I did. And it was that as I walk by the 7-Eleven every day on my way from the L stop downtown to the radio station, I go by a 7-Eleven. It's an unimpressive building and kind of a dirty, unimpressive corner downtown Chicago. But there, out the speakers by the 7-Eleven, they're always playing classical music, pretty loudly, too. And the first time I walked by, I thought, that's just a one-off. But no, the next day, and the next day. Our building has recently changed. We have a new address at the radio station, so my route has recently changed. And so I've only recently, say in the last few months, discovered this 7-Eleven that's playing classical music. And my bright side was that whenever I walk by there, I think of that as them lobbing some art out into the world. There they are in an unimpressive corner, and they're a 7-Eleven, but no, they're treating everybody to classical music. I don't especially understand classical music. I can't say I'm a great lover of it, but I felt a little, I don't know, appreciative when I walked by. Then I walked by a different 7-Eleven recently, and they were also playing classical music pretty loudly outside their store. And I thought, wow.
It must be the same guys.
Or what else would I have thought? What else could be going on here? Anyone? Bueller? I thought, well, either that's a coincidence, maybe it's the same owner, or maybe they're all playing classical music. And I thought, well, now why would all of the 7-Elevens be playing classical music?
Oh, no, why?
To ward off the riffraff. It's not them lobbing art. That's their scattering the people who might otherwise be hanging out in front of 7-Elevens. They play the music because the deadbeats, the dum-dums, the druggies and the crooks and just the guys hanging out by the 7-Eleven, they don't want to listen to classical music, so they go away. It's them shooing people off.
Do you think that works?
Well, it has at the one I go by every day. I've never seen a riff or a raff.
Well, there aren't any riff-raffs at the 7-Eleven by my place, and they don't play, do they?
The one on Broadway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I haven't noticed. No, they're not playing classical music there.
Well, does it have a parking lot?
The one that Ella's referring to does. I think it's right for the hanging out.
I think the ones with the parking lots don't play music. Like, I think it's on the streets.
Because when I walk by, it does not have anything but street parking. And the class, I walked by there today, classical music. So then I just did this. I Googled 7-Eleven classical music. And in California and in other places, this is what they're doing to keep the knuckleheads away.
But then do they know that people like you are going to stop and listen?
I know. That's what we should do, is get a bunch of people walking around going, well, I must tell you that I find this particular selection not really up to par.
What will happen now if they play Taylor Swift?
I know. Well, now there's a left turn. But you know what it reminds me more of, Kim, is who was the artist who, once the war in Iraq got started and we started getting all of these prisoners, and to torture them, they would play music really loud by an American pop artist. And it's not Barry Manilow, but it's somebody like that. Who was it that they would play the music? And it was seen as a form of punishment. Anyone? Bueller? No?
Michael Bublé? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not Michael Bublé, but we're going down the right road here. Bublé's not that bad. And actually, whoever, it's not Yanni, it's a vocalist. Oh, shoot, somebody tell me, 312-981-7200. Who was it that they would blast the music, and that was a way to either get them out of their holes, or once we have them, it was a way to, you know, we'll get you to talk, we'll play Barry Manilow at 12.
Was it Britney Spears or Max Martin?
Nope. You're Googling now, aren't you? And you're getting links like, oh, well, thank you for that. No. Yeah. Oh, shoot. All the phone lines are ringing, Ella. Yeah. Somebody will tell us. So there's that. But I was just discouraged because I thought, oh, isn't this a lovely world? Here I am, a shopkeeper running just this, you know, uninspiring 7-Eleven. You know, we're just selling the stuff that you get in a 7-Eleven. I'm a snack food vendor. But no, I'm going to give the world classical music. And no, what they're really doing is just cleaning the lawn. They're just shooing people off. So it's kind of... Now I feel sad. People nominated for the... Line two has the correct answer, I think. Hey, Michael, Jeff, you're on WGN.
Hey, John, love your show. It had to have been Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton is correct.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah.
I felt so bad for Michael Bolton.
I felt bad for Michael Bolton, but that would be a little bit of torture over 2 hours of Michael Bolton.
Oh, man. Thanks for calling, bud.
All right, you guys. Have a good day.
Everybody has their own form of torture. Hey, Bernie, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, I thought it might be John Denver.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute.
Hey.
You can't say that about John Denver.
John Denver, you know what he did to, who was the guy that wrote Go Cubs Go? You know what he did?
Yeah, sure. Now.
Terrible story. Terrible story. Yeah. And the guy was dying of cancer, and he stole the city of New Orleans, and he actually bastardized the lyrics and claimed that he partially wrote it, and after he was called out on it, he just stopped using it completely.
Well, I was just in Denver this weekend, so I got a sweet spot for John Denver right now.
Well, my son lives there, too. I got a sweet spot for Denver, but not for John Denver. That would be torture.
Thanks for the call.
That would be torture.
Have a good day, man.
Bye, thanks.
Michael Bolton. And, you know, the thing is, Michael Bolton sold 87 gazillion records. So, you know, maybe there's somebody who's going, hey, I'll take a little Michael Bolton. In fact, I dropped $12 on a CD of his back in the 90s. I mean, that happened too, right?
It's got to be the Christmas ones, all the Christmas ones.
Doug, you're on WGN Radio. Hey, Doug, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just remembering that a couple of years ago they were running a news item where the German farmers were having problems with wild boars in their crops, and they found that playing loud Britney Spears music was the best way to keep them away.
Really? Well, by the way, there was a story in the paper the other day. You know who's like crazy rich right now? Britney Spears. Oh my God, is she having a second act? But okay.
Let me just add to that, though. I just heard a podcast called What Really Happened about this and about Britney Spears and her money, and she has zero control over any of her income.
But that was court ordered, right?
Yeah.
After she kind of lost her marbles, and then they said somebody else has to oversee
her
the
dad
handling.
And the lawyer, and now it's out of her hands forever.
Well, but it doesn't mean that she'll never get access to it, but she can't make stupid decisions with it. I didn't hear the podcast.
She can't even buy a cup of coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Doug, thanks for the phone call, man.
Sure. Thank you, man.
Yeah, have a good day. You bet.
Fun fact, though. I loved that. Listening to that story was...
What's the name of that podcast?
What Really Happened.
It sounds a little like Malcolm Gladwell's revisionist history, doesn't it?
Kind of.
Take something that you think you know about, and then they'll go back and say, but here's a fuller picture of it. Remember last week when we were talking about memory and how it works? Somebody asked us about Brian Williams. Malcolm Gladwell does two episodes on Brian Williams and how memory gets processed, lost, recovered. And sometimes the recovery, you go, okay, I know exactly what happened. I was in that battle scene, or I got on that. No, you didn't. But you actually believe that you did, right? That was part of the Malcolm Gladwell sort of take on that. Interesting story.
Who's the basketball player whose father's name is James that died? And they don't know who killed him, but the two people were detained for this, for his murder.
You're talking about Michael Jordan?
Yeah, James Jordan.
Yeah.
His son.
There's also an episode on
his father. Oh, yeah.
And the host of the podcast does a whole interview with the detained, the
suspect.
Convict.
Yeah. By the way, Elif, I'm terrible at remembering names, but did you just now not...
I'm sorry, Elif. No, I had name. To like call you out.
Did
I was
you,
like, wait,
you
are you talking about
not,
Michael Jordan?
I'm
it was on the tip of my tongue.
I'm thinking of all of these basketball players, but you can't be thinking of she was thinking of Michael Jordan.
There was an alliteration in my head, too. I was like, I know it's a JJ.
James Jordan, and then his son, Michael. Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, I don't think you get to walk that one back, Elif. That's going to be on your permanent record now.
Okay, I won't backpedal it.
We'll give you that one. We know you're not a real
Hold on.
Sports nut.
Well, there's a sports guy down the hall. I don't know if he's listening to WGN Radio right now. Somebody wake up Kevin over there and ask him if he's ever heard of Michael Jordan or not, because that's a name that every now and then pops up in the news, and folks in Chicago should have heard about it by now. Hey, Kevin, do you know who Michael Jordan is? He's unraveling his headphones.
Maybe he's thinking. He's not
going,
sure.
Oh, who's that guy? We're 23.
He's going to fly out the window.
45. What was his number?
Michael Jordan?
Yes, that's him.
Yes.
Sorry, Elif.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay. Elif couldn't remember his name.
Oh. No, I don't think Elif knew his name. That was the
problem. The guy that sells the shoes, right?
Yeah.
I knew his name
based on his
well
father.
And good.
Who's that guy who had a dad and
named James?
Who got shot. The way you remember Michael Jordan isn't that his father got killed, it's that he was the greatest basketball player of all time. Whose father got killed.
I know.
Who happened to play in Chicago.
Who played in Chicago.
Never
and
mind.
Won six
you know
championships.
What? I quit this. I quit this argument.
I should.
Don't back down.
No,
come on.
I know. Well, listen, nobody has less of a right to bust somebody's chops for not remembering something than me, because I forget my kids' names. So I apologize, Elif, if you don't deserve that.
Yeah, come on.
Def Leppard is on the list of the 2019 nominees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Janet Jackson is. Watch some Janet Jackson Nasty Boys today. And oh my God, that was a lot of fun. When's the last time you listened to a Janet Jackson song? But that was pretty good video. Kraftwerk, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Roxy Music, The Cure, Todd Rundgren, Rufus and Chaka Khan among the nominees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today. They are having a job fair for Amazon. Did you see this today? 6,000 job openings in the Chicago area. I'm just reading from the Tribune, but in case you missed it, I just want to make sure you're aware of this. It says packages move along a conveyor belt at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Robbinsville, New Jersey. And jobs are moving in the Chicago area, too. Amazon is holding a fair in Mundelein today. They're hiring more than 6,000 seasonal, part, and full-time employees at its fulfillment centers and delivery facilities in the Chicago area. Candidates will be able to apply and interview for jobs at the event. It goes until 6 o'clock today at the DoubleTree by Hilton on Route 83 in Mundelein. Some of them might get offers right on the spot today, according to Amanda Ipp, an Amazon spokeswoman. I love that her last name is IP. The job fair comes about a week after the e-commerce giant pledged to raise the minimum wage for its associates to $15 an hour. Subsequently, however, Amazon also said it would eliminate monthly bonuses and stock awards for the warehouse workers. So while on the one hand they're getting a raise, on the other hand they're losing some of their other financial benefits. The company said, well, it'll be easier for them to sort of keep track. It's better that you have a regular flow. And if you didn't enjoy those benefits and you were making 13 and a quarter, now you're getting 15. The company operates 10 fulfillment and delivery centers in the Chicago area, has 4 campus pickup locations, bookstores, and other facilities. It employs in this area more than 12,000, and they're going to add 6,000 more in Mundelein today. They're having the job fair until 6 o'clock at the DoubleTree by Hilton on Route 83, FYI. It's 2:20 on WGN. What else was I going to mention to you? There's one other thing that I wanted to get to. In the next half hour, we're going to wrap up anything that I have to say, it looks like, about the Jason Van Dyke trial. And that Darlene Glanton, and she's not the reason I'm doing this today, but I was glad that she also picked up on it, too. Darlene Glanton wrote about it today in the Tribune as well. But Joe McMahon, the King County State's Attorney who supervised the Jason Van Dyke prosecution and gave the closing argument, is going to join us and talk a little bit about what happened and what's happening now. I think we should apologize to Ella for making fun of her for not being able to pull up Michael Jordan's name off the top of her head. I hate it when people do that to me. And we did it on the radio. Ella, we're real sorry about that. Early morning, stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kolkmeyer's weather forecasts and Sarah Gendra's traffic reports. That's weekdays from 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News. Do you have a private vista? You know what a private vista is? Vista means view. So your private vista is your view of, in this case, your financial future, because private vista is the name of an evolved financial planning and investment management firm here in Chicago and in the suburbs. So what's your private vista? It's not an easy question to answer, but that's what private vista is ready to help. The first thing they talk to you about is, what do you want to do in your future? What's your vista there? Think about selling your maybe home sometime, or maybe you've got a small business and you think, I want to sell the business and retire. How do you even make that major decision? Private Vista walks you through those kind of detailed decision-making processes to help you first define your private vista, and then their team works to make it a reality. You know, it's the plan, and then it's the designing of a portfolio to achieve that plan. That's their evolved approach. They talk to you a lot, and they talk to you first about who you are and what do you want to do. Isn't that nice to know? Call them directly at 630-455-0600. 630-455-0600. Or learn more at myprivatevista.com. We were talking earlier about the fact that Taylor Swift got 65,000 people in 24 hours to register to vote at vote.org. She said, I've never talked about politics. That's not what I do. And I always want to vote for women if I can. But in the case of my representative and senator in Tennessee, I can't vote for the Republican. And here's why. And then she said, here's the Democrats that I'm voting for. So she's come out endorsing two Democrats in Tennessee, and maybe more to the point, because that's a national audience that she's talking to. And when you go to vote.org, you can do that from any state. But thousands of people in Tennessee in 24 hours registered to vote at vote.org as well. So she's breaking tradition, and we're asking you what you think about that. On a phone line is that Michael? That's Michael Steele. Is it the same Michael Steele? Is the chairman of the board at the U.S. Vote Foundation. Hey, Michael, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. Are you the same Michael Steele that was the chairman of the Republican Party?
I am, and the former lieutenant governor of Maryland as well, yes.
I know that, but...
The man of steel.
I'll tell Ro you said hi for crying out loud.
The man of steel.
I can't poach Ro Khan's guest. That's against the law. I can't take Ro's guest. What's happening here? We call.
I have a different hat on right now, so it's all good.
I know you do, sir, but I mean, that is so interesting because we hear you all the time, and we've just been kind of intrigued by this story. You know, some of our listeners are saying that celebrities should stay out of the fray. And others say, no, if they have a platform and they have something to say, we should hear about it. So she said, well, go to vote.org. That's what Taylor Swift did, and register to vote.
Right.
And in her case, she wants you to vote Democrat, which is not your case. I mean, you're a Republican, right?
Yes, I am a Republican, but as chairman of this organization, our goal is to get you to vote. And we do a lot of stuff on the back end, working with organizations like Vote.org and the various states to coalesce all of the data and information related to voter registration, voting polling locations, voting times, early voting versus, you know, regular voting, same-day voting. All of that information is coalesced in addition to overseas voting. Yeah. You have a lot of U.S. citizens, well over a million plus, who live on, you know, 365 basis overseas, but still want to participate in voting here at home. So,
well, that's how
we provide all of that. And to Taylor's point, and the point that people are responding to her, you know, celebrity is any other asset. It can be used in a good way or a bad way, and I think it's oftentimes used in a way that has political overtones. Taylor's not done that. This is her first step in this area, but she's encouraging people to go vote, go register. That's a good thing in the main, because we need more people to get out there and exercise the franchise.
Well, your website would work with somebody who had completely different views, and I think to her credit, she said, here's why I'm voting the way I am. But I think underlying message for her was everybody needs to participate in the system. Do you find that?
Exactly.
Do you all track the demographics? Are more young people registering right now, Michael, or older people, or how is that going in any way?
Younger people, they are, but they're in pockets around the country. So in places like Florida, where you had the Parkland shooting earlier this year, and of course last year, and the response that's been born up out of that. You've got, you know, younger people now participating and exercising the ability to go vote. In other areas, it's not as overwhelming as I saw a story on MSNBC this morning. Talked with Jacob Soboroff, who was asking students at the University of California about voting, and they're just like, right, okay. and that's a genuine concern that a lot of people have about what young voters will do, is that they typically don't participate because they don't see themselves as being impacted by public policy, but they are, and they in a big way, and they really should pay more attention and recognize the change that they can impact and have on the system as a whole.
Well, let's do this. I got to run, but I just want to know that your organization is there. And the big question for me today was, if I'm in Illinois, or more importantly, Indiana, because the deadline for our Indiana listeners is today, you can literally register to vote. You will be a registered voter if you go to vote.org and follow the prompts, right?
That's correct. And if you if you're overseas, or if you also want to, you can go to the U.S. Vote Foundation site and do the same thing. And it has more background information that will give you all of the deadlines, so you will know not just what the deadline is in your state for registering, but when the early voting deadlines are, when where the polling places are in your state as well, so you can even localize it to where you live to know the polling areas, locations in your area.
That's important to know. Hey, Michael, thanks for saying hi to us. I'll say hi to Ro, and you're always a great guest on his show. We'll listen for you there, too.
All right, sounds good. Take care now, John.
This is John Williams, back from a little hiatus. Thank you to Pete McMurray for filling in for a few days there. I left last Thursday for the mountains of Colorado. Actually, we flew out Friday, and I'm back today, and it was an interesting time to be away, I must say. A lot of news took place in those few days. And here's Darlene Blanton's column in today's Chicago Tribune. Did you see what she said? She's a terrific writer. She wrote, prosecutors knew it. Defense attorneys knew it. The convicted police officer knew it, too. That fact that 17-year-old Laquan McDonald was African-American was rarely mentioned outright during the trial, but the issue of his skin color was always hovering near the surface. Only Special Prosecutor Joseph McMahon, a white guy from the suburbs, had the guts to say what many people already had surmised. In his opening statement, he said the shooting was about, quote, a black boy walking down the street and having the audacity to ignore the police. In their fight to keep Van Dyke from going to prison, defense attorneys stooped low, relying on racial stereotypes to make the point that McDonald was a scary guy who deserved to die. And then she writes more about the trial. And she mentions, obviously, Mr. McMahon, who is the lead prosecutor in this case. Joe is the Kane County State's Attorney. And he joins us on WGN Radio. Hi, Joe. It's John Williams. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
You saw that piece earlier today, did you?
I did, yes.
What was your first reaction to that when you were reading that?
Well, I think it reflects, one of the issues that was important to this case. It's not the main issue, but it is an issue, and I thought it was an issue that I had to touch on. It was an honest comment. It has to be part of the conversation if we're going to use this as an opportunity to move forward. And it's unfortunate, but it I felt like it had to be said.
You gave the opening remarks and then some closing remarks as well. You must have thought a lot about that, a black boy walking down the street and having the audacity to ignore the police. I mean, literally, did you know that we were all going to talk about that? We would hear it. And how long and hard did you work on that sentence? Did you debate not even saying that?
I did not debate not saying it. One of the things that really struck me about this case was a father and a son who testified, Jose and Xavier Torres. One of the things that Mr. Torres said to me when we met with him in preparation was that if that happened to his son, he hoped and prayed that someone would speak up and tell the truth about what happened. And that struck me, and it stuck with me as well. And it was his comments before the trial, and then just some of the things that I was thinking about in preparation that I felt like I needed to touch on that issue.
So you're sitting there writing your notes saying, okay, here I go. This is the line. I'm going to use it, huh?
I did, yeah.
Would we have a conviction? I wonder if we would have even had a trial were it not for the video.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to speculate about things like that, but certainly that video played a central role in this case. It provided some independent, not the only piece of independent evidence, because the Mr. Torres and his son, certainly concerned citizens with no connection to anybody, just came forward to tell the truth. But that video, absolutely a key piece of this case.
Well, particularly since without the video, you might have the Torreses, but you also have a bunch of police officers saying that Laquan McDonald lunged at Jason Van Dyke, swinging the knife at him, and the video belies that. But here again, it would have been a they said, and I think a lot of us know how those kind of cases usually go.
That's been the history, and that's been the history of cases like that across this country, both recently and over many years in the past. So it would have been a completely different case without the video. Would there have been a prosecution? I don't know. It may have been a case that nobody really knew about. It was just another police shooting, which would have been unfortunate and would have been wrong. So I'm grateful that the video was there, and I'm grateful that the Torres's came forward and spoke up.
I wondered if first degree was a bridge too far, that it'd be easy for the jury to say no to that. Why didn't you go for second degree instead of first, the sentence that they actually came back with?
Well, we charged first degree in the aggravated battery counts because that's what we believed the evidence supported, and you know, we felt we could prove first degree. And in Illinois, in order to get to second degree in this scenario, we had to prove first degree beyond a reasonable doubt. We did that, and then the jury worked through that process and then began consideration of the mitigating factor for second degree. They found that, and I respect that. I can see how they, you know, went through that process, and in the end, they figured it out and they got it right. And I'm proud of the outcome. I think it's the right outcome.
What were you thinking as the trial was going on about whether or not they would put him on the stand?
Well, we prepared from the beginning as if he would testify, never really knowing, you know, what his decision would be. As we got through the trial, there were some things that, you know, we felt we were able to bring out some inconsistencies about the video and some inconsistencies between his partner, Mr. Walsh, and the video and their own animation. And then the fact that, you know, this, they were claiming that this was a self-defense case. I'm not surprised that he took the witness stand, so we were ready for that. But I think those were some of the factors that led him to make the decision to testify on his own behalf.
I don't know if you heard some of the chatter, but the, you know, smart people on TV were saying that at least one of the witnesses you called sort of backfired in that they rather supported Officer Van Dyke's decision. Any regrets about the witnesses that you called?
No, not at all. And, you know, one of the benefits of knowing all the evidence that we're going to present in our case is how each piece fits together. And I suppose in isolation, calling the defendant's partner, you know, may appear on its face as something that other lawyers wouldn't do. But we knew, given the animation that they put together, we knew, given the number of times that we watched the central video in this case, and based it how he testified in other proceedings under oath, you know, we knew he was going to try to help the defendant, but we also felt we'd be able to control it and show the inconsistencies between his testimony and what really happened as well.
I was a little surprised at the defense video animation. It reflected what we saw in the actual video, of course. I thought they might be able to nuance it in a way that would be more sympathetic to their side. And with the exception that they put that famous hood on Laquan McDonald, I don't think it helped them at all. What were your thoughts about that video animation?
Our thoughts were that it was very inaccurate, and that was the focus of our team's attack on that video, of how inaccurate, how incomplete, how it misrepresented the actual event.
Right, five shots and so forth. But I mean, but it's their video, so naturally they're going to present something that reflects their case, not yours, right?
Sure, right. So our focus was let's highlight its inaccuracies, and I think the lawyer from my team that did that, Marilyn Height Ross, did an outstanding job of exploiting that.
Kim Gordon and I were just talking off the air. She's in our newsroom right now, Kim. We were talking about the sentencing now, right?
Right, and we just are curious if you know, what's a fair sentence? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, I haven't made a decision. My team and I will work on those issues between now and the sentencing date, but ultimately sentencing is a decision for the judge to make. We'll make a recommendation.
And can you give me some guidelines? What sort of parameters are you thinking about?
Well, the Class X counts require a sentence to the Department of Corrections. Those are the aggravated battery charges. And the second-degree murder, while it's eligible for probation, could be between 4 and 20 years. And, you know, we'll make a recommendation somewhere in that range.
Would there be 4 to 20 years? Would there be
correct?
Is that just for the second degree conviction, or does that include the aggravated battery charges?
It's just for the second degree conviction.
Would they add on the aggravated battery convictions as well?
The judge could, and I think that will be an issue that will be, you know, contested at the sentencing hearing and the post-trial motions.
I appreciate the process you're going through. You can imagine our curiosity, though. Would you be satisfied if it was as few as 4 years, Joe?
Sentencing is a judicial decision, and this judge will consider all of the factors that he should, and I'll be satisfied with the outcome, whatever it is.
Anything else you'd like to pass along? It was, you know, must-see television and must-listen-to radio. We all sure were caught up in it. It's such a sorry, sad chapter for the city of Chicago. What's the postscript from you on this story?
It is that there are no winners in this case. Laquan McDonald's family suffers greatly. His mother, Tina, continues to experience this pain and relive this tragedy daily. And the Van Dyke family is suffering greatly as well. No winners in this case. And it's unfortunate to see a police officer, although it's right that he was convicted, it's unfortunate to see someone who we place our trust in and give authority to convicted for and in the line of duty shooting for murder.
Well, I'm glad that you put it that way, because I feel that way too, and I feel bad for the Van Dyke family like that. I think that 99,000 out of a 10,000, you know, every other day in his career, maybe he doesn't pull the trigger. That one day he made that one mistake. And I feel bad for his family, and I feel bad for that man. But that's what happened, and there has to be some justice as a result.
That's exactly the way I feel.
It's nice to talk to you, sir. Joe McMahon, Kane County State's Attorney, thanks for your time. Thanks to your staff for what was a great deal of service. We appreciate you joining us, sir.
Yeah, great team. Thanks for having us.
How about that? That's Joe McMahon over here. Ro, I did not know I was going to poach your guest. I try not to be a guest poacher or a Pop-Tart licker.
Oh.
Ew.
Are you a double dipper on top of it?
I don't know if that's an expression, but we had an argument here at the radio station one time about guests and who gets whose guests when and where. And somebody said, well, don't be a Pop-Tart licker. And I said, what's that? And they said, whoever said this said, I had a sister, and when we were kids, she would open up all the packets of Pop-Tarts and lick them so that nobody else would come and take those Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I've heard of that. That's happened in my family, too.
That's a Pop-Tart licker.
Yeah. Candy
licker. The box of chocolates, you just stick your finger in the bottom to see what's in it, lick it.
Candy licker was my name when I was a burlesque dancer, so that's a different deal. May I say this, and maybe I don't have the proper competitive attitude about our business.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
I understand that about you, which is refreshing.
Yeah. If it's good for the show, I mean, we have our native people that are with us,
sure,
all the time, you know, that, you know, have been with me, you know, for 10 years or 20 years or whatever,
yes,
do regular appearances. But you know, so I know they're going to be there, and if they are relevant to another show at any given time in a week, that's fine. I don't care. What do I care? If, you know, if we're fighting over, you know, one guest at, you know, at one moment. We had a situation, what, was the last week, I think, with you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Where there was a thing, it popped, it was just better for you to have it than it was for us to have it. I don't care. As long as the audience gets to hear the person, what do I care?
Well, Susie Sunshine's going to be on with me tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, now you're going to have it.
See, now
that's it.
Gotta Susie
go.
Sunshine, it's funny we mentioned
Bye-bye.
That.
Yeah.
She's going to be joining us. She's now based in Chicago and is...
We're so happy.
The most, one of the most important people on the planet in her business now. So.
She is.
On my show tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Now that she's ruling the world, you'll get her. All right. Thank you, John.
Show.
Appreciate it.